Perek Vav is a very interesting perek. He's going to talk about a certain person, what he calls Hamamashkin as Hashem. They want a mashkin from Hashem. We'll see what that means. He goes through seven different reasons why this is ludicrous. And in the last perek, we're going to discuss the things that keep a person from having betochen. What are the things that interfere with betochen? Sometimes he brings it at the beginning of a perek, and sometimes at the end. Yeri brings it right at the end. And I think it's a deemed correct. La reis es a tipshus, ves a tos, shebahashkafosom zu. One second. Ah, he's carrying on from what we said yesterday. Sorry. Okay. Yesterday, we said right at the end that there are people that will not start living their lives the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to live their lives until they have enough to live on for them and their families at Sof Yemeinu. Means, yeah, I'm going to work and put away until I have enough to live on, and then when I've got enough to live on, then I'll start, you know, taking care of Olam Haba. It's a lot like the Goyim, you know, who are going to work and work and work until they're 30 or 40, and then they're going to play golf the rest of their lives when they've got enough money to do that. That's another shear, but the Vortia is, that's what he's finished carrying on from. He's going directly off the back of what he said here, that there are these people that will not start focusing and taking care of their Olam Haba until they have enough to live on, and therefore they're going to put all their energy and effort into collecting what they need in order for them and their children and their grandchildren at Sof Olam, and then they'll start worrying about the next world. So he says, "Avoy tzelen chon la'ari," says Atimshus, "v'satos b'mishkafosim zu." I'm going to show you the stupidity, and if that's not enough, we'll show you the error in this Ashkofer. And then they Sheva Pirchos. I have seven questions for these people. Shall Yodam Agale is Goydel to Osom? That via these seven Pirchos, I will show you the enormity of the error. Vaseh Zoyis Lamarot Shetzarich La'arich Al Yadaykach. I'm going to do this despite the fact that I need to be quite long-winded about this. He's apologizing for being long. Because there is in these words in order to embarrass and give tochocha to people that think like this. So now you have to embarrass these people. And that's what he's doing. The way you magdi them, the description for these people is kat hamamashkinim es Hashem. They want a mashkin from Hashem. Let's see why it's so important to spend, as he says, to be very lengthy in embarrassing them and giving them rebuke. There was one businessman and he sells to somebody goods on credit that he doesn't really trust. So therefore he takes a mashkin. I'm sending you the goods, you owe me $1,000, I don't trust you, so I'll take a mashkin. What's a mashkin in English?
Collateral.
A collateral. I want collateral. Give me your car, you give me your whatever, you know. He wants collateral. The banks won't lend you money if you don't have something to back it up with. Why is he taking a mashkin? Why do the banks want your house tied up when they lend you money? Because they're scared you're not going to pay back. He doesn't trust him, the guy's not that trustworthy. Even if he's trustworthy, who says he'll have money in a week? Well, what'll happen? Maybe something will happen to him. Maybe who knows what can happen? Mashkin. This group of people that we're coming to deal with, they are not prepared to serve Hashem. They're not prepared to serve Hashem until they have a mashkin from Hashem, which says, you have enough panos and you have everything you and your family need. And until I have that, I'm not prepared to serve you. It's a bit like Choni Amargel, you know, he stands in a circle and he says, I'm not coming out here to do what I want. I'll serve you, I'll do whatever you want, but I want to guarantee that I'm gonna get everything I need. So that's the Ashkofa. Apeka Rishoina Shigishna al Adam, Hamishtayech lekat zuhi. The first kasha that we have on the person who has shaykhus to this group. Shenemalo ataha ish. Shehincha mistapek imanhogos sa'odom kiel pikzeiru sa'voyre olo. Taish, she in chom is the peck, if an August Adam here of Pixarus a boy or law. You, Mr. Man, you have swakers whether a person is managed by the Xerus a boy or not. You're not sure if Hashem is running the world or not. She ain't chamayim in Bekoicha Bilti Mugvo, and you don't have imun in Hashem's infinite power. The light of your seichel has been darkened. And the candle of your understanding has been extinguished. Because the lowliness of your tithes, of your lusts, have strengthened themselves upon you. It's only appropriate to take a mashkin from your fellow man. Because
if
somebody works for somebody and he hasn't started working yet, he's not going to ask for a guarantee that he's going to be paid. You haven't even done anything yet for the guy. You haven't started working for him. You want him to pay you already? You want guarantees you're going to be paid? Start working. And what am I even want Eved? And Eved wants from his master mashkin. He hasn't started working for him yet. Even if he started working, which Eved gets a mashkin? Who says you get a mashkin?
Eved doesn't get paid.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. He wants a mashkin and he's going to get paid before he's even started working. That's who you are. You want a mashkin from Hashem and you haven't even started doing the mitzvahs. You haven't started serving him. You want to make sure you're going to get paid? I'm amazed at such a shkofi, he says. He's using very charif loshen. I haven't seen charif loshen anywhere else in the Kovas Halavavas. This charif. V'ani mitpale al hashkof hazu shere ma im avadoso shel eved ladoinov. Ma the avoida of an eved in relation to his master. Amanashi yipro lo yischore ach avadotoy. He gnai le eved. Why? Because an eved has been bought by his master. And the master's already paid for the Eved before the Eved started doing anything. How did you get this Eved? You had to, if it's a Jewish slave, you had to bail him out, you had to pay for whatever he owes. Therefore he's not worthy, afterwards. I just paid for you. If a guy was in prison, let's say, and a guy comes and bails him out for $1 million, takes him home to work for him, the guy wants to get paid now? How did you get out of prison? Who bailed you out? So the same thing here. It's insulting. It's terrible. Kamo shamru chazal, al tiyeh kavonim ha-masham shemesarav al-manas lekabel pras. Don't be like those avodim that serve the master because they want to get some prize. Im kain v'kol shet kain. How much more so? She'eved lo yaz ponev lakesh mashken al panosay? Oid lifnei shidchel bavosay? The Odov bails the Eved out, pays for him whatever. They're on their way home in the horse and carriage, and the Eved says to him, "Excuse me, I'm not starting to work until you. I have a guarantee. I'm going to get paid. You know, I want guarantors here." What's he talking about? He made you. He created you, he everything, and you're asking for tigmalu, you're asking for pay me. You gotta pay me. You want me to work for you? You gotta pay. What are you talking about?
But we spoke about schar or the tools that we need to
sell. No, there's a thing called schar. We spoke about it before. There's a thing called schar. Hashem created a world where there's a thing called schar, the seder, but you're not supposed to serve Hashem because you want the schar, and you can't ask for a mashkin. Well, one second, hey, can you prove to me that I'm going to get the schar? Hashem on the side is not giving you schar, so what, you're going to stop him serving Hashem? What are you talking about? You know how much you owe him? He already said that for all the chesed Hashem gives us, for the smallest chesed that Hashem gives us. You learned it a few days ago. He brings out that the smallest possible chesed that Hashem did for you, you could be over him for 1,000 years, you wouldn't pay him back for the one small chesed he did for you. So yeah, you want schar as well? He said the fact that he gives us schar is also kulu chesed, because lo magiel lecha klum.
Yes, but the people keep money, it's not a schar, it's a tool. That means they think they need to.
We have no problem with people making shtadlis and having panos and using the panos correctly. I've had a person needs panos and saying not. It's but how are you allowed to say to Hashem, I'm not starting to work for you until I know that I have. Give me a credit card, you know, with unlimited whatever, and then we'll start talking about being over Hashem. We're talking about that kind of, that's the mashka. About a personal work, he'll have the tools he needs in order to do what he needs to do. Hashem's not. And if he'll do what he's supposed to do, he's guaranteed to pay the sky. If Hashem says, I'll give you something, his word's good enough for you. The problem that we have with people that we can't trust him is either he's not trustworthy. No, Hashem doesn't have that problem. Hashem's trustworthy. And the second problem is, even if he's trustworthy, but who says he can do it? Even if he wants to, he may not be able to. Who knows what it'll be tomorrow? You know, guys that traded in horses, you know, lost a lot of money when the car was invented. You know, this guy's a big millionaire because he sells horses, and the next thing, Henry Ford comes along and... Well, the horse traders are out of business, so he could be the most honest guy in the world, but he doesn't have. With Hashem, you don't have that problem either. He said he'll pay you. Stop it, you can rely on that. So no, I'm not serving you until I have enough panasa for the rest of my life. That's the problem. That's his first piercha. You're an eved, and you're wanting to get paid, and not just get paid, you want to guarantee that you'll get paid before you even started working, and you're an eved. That's problem number one. Piercha shnehi. Shekol mi shemavakesh mechaver a mashkin, yesh le mashkin shiu ugvul. Behetem le goy lachoy. What kind of mashkin do you want? Well, if I lend you $1,000, I want something that's worth about $1,000. God's not going to give you $1 million mashkin for $1,000 loan. It's got to be limited to the amount of the mashkin. Why do they send a shama to your house before they give you a mashkanta? Because the amount they're lending has to be kind of relevant to the amount of the property. Aval Balashkov Zu, this guy, Hara Ein Sof Lema Shum Avakesh. He wants unlimited mashkins here. Shara Ein Hu Yodaya Kama Mozoin Umatoris Yaspikul Uponosa Uloponosas Bnei Beisad Yom Mason. He doesn't know how much he needs to live on for the rest of his life. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what's going to be. Va'afim Yelo Momon Kifle Kaflai Mimashi Yaspiklo. Even if he would have plenty more than what he needs, haray lo yastapek bo, he won't be happy with that. Mipnei she'akeitz shelo ne'elam mimenu. He doesn't know when his end's coming. Umidas yomov einu yodua lo. He doesn't know how many days he has left to live. An actuary can tell you be'erech, more or less, how much you need to live. But what happens if you live another 10 years? So you better make sure that you have an extra. And what happens if, you know, the people that live to 100 today? So whatever, and he might be one of those rare ones that lives to 120, so he better have more. And he doesn't know how many children he's going to have. And you know what medical expenses he's going to have, and what he's going to have. My year old young person knows what's going to be born tomorrow that he's going to have to deal with. So how much money does he need? Infinite. Mekisha came, who is a shtus bezeh shum avakesh dovazeh. How do you translate to is a shtus bezeh? He's making idiocy out of this, huh? Foolish, total foolishness that he's making this claim. Shara'ein lama shuma vakesh lo soif lo shil. Because what he's asking for is endless. It's like the bank comes to you, you want a mashkanta, and the bank says to you, fine, what can you give us? You say, well, I have Madeira. Madeira's worth $1 million. I want a 700,000 shekel loan. The bank says, no. We need a $50 million mashkanta. What are you talking about? You mad? I want to borrow 700,000 shekels. You need a 50 million shekel mashkanta? That's what this guy's saying. He's never going to get it. Even if he'd get $1 million or $5 million, there's never going to be enough for him because he just doesn't know how much he'll ever need. So that's the second problem with somebody who wants a mashkin from a ship. What happens if you have a situation where I'm borrowing money from you, but I actually owe you a lot more than I'm borrowing? I owe you a lot of money, whatever. You did some work for me or whatever, and I owe you $50,000 for the work you did, and now I want to borrow $1,000 from you. I'll ask you for a mashkin. What are you talking about? Mashkin? And if I don't pay you back, as was. So take it off, what you owe me. It's a ridiculous thing. I can only ask you a mashkin when I don't owe you anything. Therefore, you owe me, and I want to make sure I get paid, so please give me a mashkin. But if I owe you already before, he knows that the other guy's got valid claims against him. He's not going to ask the guy for a mashkin. Even if the guy wants to, he says, listen, please, you know, I'll sleep better at night knowing you got a mashkin, whatever. It's not correct to take it. You're going to take a mashkin from someone you owe money to? This guy's a tzaddik, he's a mashugan, he wants to give you a mashkin for the $1,000. And you owe him $50,000. He said, please take a mashkin. The guy said, go away, what do you want? Take a mashkin from you, I owe you so much already. And how much if a person from another person shouldn't take a mashkin if he owes him money? So how much more so you can't demand from Hashem a mashkin? How much will we chayv to Hashem for sure? No sveikas. Everybody admits how much chesed Hashem does for us all the time, how much you owe Hashem. At shafilum yitztofes maseim atoivim shal kol bnei ha'adam shenasu mitchilis b'riyas olam. Listen to this. This is a Rishon. The Rishonim didn't exaggerate, okay? This is not some exaggeration. Watch this cheshbon. If you would take all the deeds, the good deeds, of all the people that lived from the time the world was created, v'iskufoisam l'schusoy, take all the toivas that everybody ever did, put them into one box, it wouldn't be enough to pay one chesed Hashem did for them. You know what that means? I don't know if someone you know what that means, explain that to me. That's terrifying news. For the smallest chesed Hashem did for you, and he does unbelievable, infinite chesedim for us every moment. Every moment. I saw something yesterday which is mamash. You see how great a person can come. Rav Pinkus always used to say, we all know that there's nothing too big for Hashem, but we often forget there's nothing too small for Hashem as well. Nothing too small for Hashem. Rav Yitzchak Isaac Shur once told Rav Miller, he said, have you noticed by your buttonhole, yeah, it's strengthened with extra threads like that. He said, if you didn't have that, your shirt would eventually meet parek. Opening the buttons all the time, eventually 10 will be parek. He said, do you know how much you have to pay Hashem just for one buttonhole? Kama chesed there is in one buttonhole? Every time you close your jacket, every time you do your shirt, every time. He said, how do you pay back Hashem for one buttonhole? Okay, if you're already on that level of having a positive to Hashem, you understand what he's saying here. And from him you want a mashkin? Hashem grows sheep and he grows grass and the sheep eat the grass and from that you get wool. And the wool and the God takes and he makes you a beggar and he takes the trouble to make the buttonhole strong. Come on, you owe the person for that? How to think like that? Take training to think like that. But that's how Jews used to live. Rav Miller said every time he said Malbush Arumim in the morning after that, make the bracha Malbush Arumim, he used to feel his buttonhole. For the rest of his life, just to feel the buttonhole. Listen, he heard it from Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Shur, the Slobodka Rosh Yeshiva, so it almost makes an impression. He went for a walk with him one day. He said he went for a walk with him in the field, and he saw the sheep. And he said to him, what do you see there? He said, sheep. He said, you see sheep? He says, I see Malbish Arumim. Yeah. Okay, so we're up to the fifth piacha. When I get a mashkin, so I can sleep at night. You owe me money, but I know that if you don't pay me, not bad, because I can always sell this and I can get the money back. Give me the day share, no me a mashkin. Either I'll use it and I'll get benefit and I'll enjoy it and I won't have to buy one myself. Or the day share, tomorrow you'll sell it and you'll have the money to pay the choir. אבל אלה הטוענים שכאשר הבוער ייתן להם מראש די סבוקה, those that want from Hashem enough to live on before they start working for Hashem, אז תהיה להם מנוחס הנפש מדייגס ותירס העולם הזה, they think they'll then have מנוחס הנפש from all the worries and the dangers of this world. If I had $50 million in the bank, I wouldn't have any worries. So Hashem, you make a deposit in my bank, so I don't have any more worries, and I'll serve you. The same as a guy takes a mashkin. Alright, Tanosim Zuko Zebis here. It's a meshugana tiny, he says. First of all, who says the money will stay in your rishus? How many people had money in banks and the next morning there wasn't a bank? How many people had this investment, this couldn't, whatever, and then what happened? And money goes up and money goes down, and then people wheels turn. Who's first? Are you guaranteed that you're going to have Lucas and Nefesh? There are many things in the world that separate man from his money. Commercials are possible. In half your days, it'll run away from you, your wealth. So that's the first problem. You think you'll have Menuchas HaNefesh because you have this mashka. It's not true. You don't have Menuchas HaNefesh because who knows what's going to be tomorrow. Join together with Tamar Ravi, who says it's enough. $50 million is enough. Maybe it's not enough. Maybe you need 51. How many people took out insurance policies because they thought it would be enough and whatever? First of all, who told them they were going to live to 90? They thought they would live to 70. And second of all, who told them the cost of living was going to go up more than they actually told them that above? And then comes the end of the day, and they're like, oh, enough for the insurance policies. You have Menuchas HaNefesh? So that's the first thing that's crazy. You want a mashkin from Hashem, you think you'll ever have enough? You'll have Menuchas HaNefesh? You won't. Itam Reisav Tanosam Zuhi Kozevis Umar Shein Haim Mekirim Klau Is Adov Hashem Shoifim Alov. Another reason why it's apparent, and you can see that they don't understand what it is that they're yearning for. Even if they would not see to get all the money that they want. Just imagine, you get everything you ever dreamed about. The money you were yearning for and wanted, that could be the biggest cause of all your diagnoses. That could be the biggest source of anguish. Kach shelo rak she'amomen lo yazu lem lo yivres Hashem. Not only will the money not help you serve Hashem, and other rabbah, yimnoi samay says it will stop you from serving Hashem. Kamo shamlu Chazal, ma be menachos ma be daiga. Chazal told us already, the more possessions you got, the more worries you've got. So you think that all this money is going to give you menuchas hanefesh, because I'll say you got it wrong, it's the opposite. All these possessions are going to give you daigos. Anybody that's got possessions knows whether he's got a little bit or he's got a lot or whatever. It's not simple. It's not simple. Talk to the honest rich guys. The rich guys will give you shemaim. It's not so simple. You have enormous responsibilities that comes with that wealth. It's not simple. And the guys that don't have Yerushamayim, even more so what the wealth causes in agmas nefesh and worry. He can't sleep at night. Did it go up? Did it go down? Did it work? Did I hedge? Didn't I dare? Did I? Where to put it? How to put it? Watching, checking all the time. They don't sleep at night. He's so happy because he got an iPhone that's waterproof. Now he can watch the stocks in the shower. I heard that from somebody. He can now track it in the shower. That's called Menuchas HaNefesh. He'd be better off without the stocks. You can have a nice shower. People used to sing in the shower, you know. Now he's watching the stocks. So that's the fifth reason why wanting a mashkin from is ridiculous, is because it's not going to give you what you want. If it could at least give you what you want, no. Sadder. You're an idiot, but at least you're a calm idiot. But you're not going to be calm. You're not going to be relaxed. And how many times, we mentioned yesterday, people get a lot of money, and on the contrary, it takes them out of the world and not doesn't bring them back into it. V'apircha hashishis. Someone who takes a mashkin from his friend, if the guy lends money to somebody and he knows for sure, let's say whatever, you got a nevuah, that this guy's going to pay him back on time, early even, and not only that, but he's going to pay him back more than he owes him. What about Shalom in Ribis here? He's going to pay back more than he owes him. Okay? As a reloya mamashkin, so b'shemoifin. Why would he take a mashkin from him? He knows Boru, this guy's going to pay him back, and he's going to pay him back more. So we're going to ask for a mashkin? What for? Im kein alachas kama v'kama shegnus gedoylihi mitzideinu. It's a terrible despicability on our side. The mashkin is a boiris parok. To ask Hashem for a mashkin. Hashem akirimanu es hanagosa toyves tuva gorlimanu bavo v'hover. Business to just look at his life and understand how much good Hashem and how kind Hashem is to us all the time. Ushamalem of kiyum mitzvah shebeinam lechaveri beinam lemakom, and he pays us for keeping his mitzvahs both beinam lechaveri and beinam lemakom. We can't begin with the wildest imagination to start even beginning to think about what wonderful sky is going to pay us for this. Not in accordance with what we did. You can't even begin to express it with your mouths. No eye has ever seen the Nevi'im, the Malachim. Nobody knows what unbelievable sky is waiting for us for the smallest mitzvah we did. So, one second. Hashem, I know you're going to pay me. I can rely on it because the track record shows it. And I have no idea how much you're going to pay me. Much, much more than I can even imagine. Now, I want a mashkin? You're lucky that I want a mashkin from your friend who you know is going to pay you back double. That's the sixth taina. I would have liked to finish, but it's late. So, Mr. Hashem will finish this tomorrow. Let's internalize this. We do this all the time a little bit ourselves. It's kind of like, yo, no, I'm just, as soon as I finish this business deal, then I'll go back to learning. Just take care of this, and then I'm going to go back and do what I have to do. I've just got to fix up one thing, and then I'll go bika choylim. We always have just one before we do what we have to do. And as the chinuch says, tiedes ha'adam, madichim es ha'adam, mitiede le tiede, mitiede dele, ad sheyoylech kol yomov bahavola. One tiere leads to another tiere, to another tiere. A person spends up his whole life just taking care of that one last thing that he can go back and do what he has to do. And he spends his whole life taking care of just that one last thing that he has to do before he can go back and do what he has to do. Needs work.
That's someone you want to build a yeshiva for example. You have to wait to have all the money, or he starts and he's not sure he will have the money to finish.
That's what he's telling you. Yeah. You have enough for today, start. Once again, it depends on every individual. We're learning Chovas HaLevavos here. Chovas HaLevavos is one mahalach in Betochen. As we've mentioned many times, there's lots of mahalchim in Betochen. Those mahalchim are not machloikasim. Each Rishon agrees with every other Rishon, his mahalach in Betochen, but it depends on the time and the person. For example, there's one small example. The Ramban says it's also to go to a doctor. This is what we have to, let's Hashem, we'll do it. The Ramban says it's also to go to a doctor. And he brings from Tanakh and whatever, you go to a doctor's mamash, it's... The Ramban says, you have to go to a doctor. The machlekes, the Ramban and the Rambam. There's no machlekes here. Rav Dessler says, there's no machlekes. The Ramban is talking the times of the Navi. We had Navi. The person got sick, he went to the Navi told him what a vairi he did, what he has to do tshuva before he did tshuva, the machala went away. In that situation, it's also to go to a doctor. What about a person living in the times of Nevi'im that wasn't holding on that level? He wasn't there. Or you're living in a time where we don't have Nevi'im and we're on the lower level where we don't see that. So you have to go to the doctor. That's the Rambam. So the Rambam would agree with the Ramban that when the Nevi'im, you got to go to the Navi. And the Ramban would agree with the Rambam when the no Nevi'im, you got to go to a doctor. And I'll argue. It's the same year. The Chovas HaLevavos is talking to a certain type of person who he calls a Baal Betochen, which we have no musag of what that even looks like. So you have to know when it applies and how it applies. It takes a certain amount of seichel, like everything, to know how to apply this to yourself. The principles here we need to learn and understand, because the principles are eternal. We have to know how to apply those principles to our particular situation, which is any halacha you need to know that. Every halacha that you learn out of the Gemara needs to be applied by a poisek to every specific situation. That's why you get two people asking the same question, getting two psakim, different psakim. How did that happen? Because their situation was different to their situation. That's what you need a poisek for. The same year. The principles are valid. They need to be known how to apply them. So avada, it might be that in a certain person, you know, and I heard my Rebbe saying this many times, tell the guy, go off and, you know, make a panasa and carve yourself out a corner of panasa, then the rest of your life you can sit and learn properly. The Chayim Soloveitchik says, yeah, Chayim Soloveitchik is talking to someone who's a Baal B'Tochen already. You're not a Baal B'Tochen. You need to go in. Other people know. Yeah, the Brisker on his level never kept bread for tomorrow in the war, where there was never bread. You would have think under the circumstances in the middle of a war where there was starvation, there's no food. If you had two pieces of bread, you keep one for tomorrow. You never did. Yelled for him. Now, if I would have done that, the Brisker probably would have given me a punch and said, you idiot, put away a piece of bread for tomorrow. But for him, he was holding on Einod Milvod. Once again, you have to know, B'Tochen is a very complicated sugya because there is no psak. It requires a lot of sensitivity of a person to know exactly and to be honest with yourself, to know where you really hold it. And to learn and to ask shalas. It's a relationship. B'Tochen, if you think about it, is a relationship. And it's very hard to prescribe a relationship to somebody. You can't tell somebody how to talk to his wife. You give him basic principles, you know, don't slam the door, don't scream, don't, you know, don't whatever, you know, certain basic things, you know, don't read the newspaper while she's talking to you. You give basic guidelines, you know, how not to destroy it, but exactly what to say when and how. And you know, she says this, you say that. And she, you're talking about, you've got to work that out yourself. You've got to learn the game. Same with B'Tochen. It's about having a deep, intimate relationship with Hashem. We ought to prescribe it. So all the Rishonim gave the Klalim and the Anhogas and the Gedorim. Now you have to know how to apply them, how to extract them.
Rabbi, the Sefer HaRefuah existed at the time of the Nevi'im, didn't it? And it was like a stira, basically.
It's very interesting. The Ramban, this Ramban that I'm quoting brings down that it was osur to use it. Yeah. You were allowed to learn it. I still haven't seen what it's about. Don't ask me questions. I don't know. The Ramban says a Peledika statement. Sefer HaRefuah was there. You weren't allowed to use it. You had to go to the Navi. But you were allowed to learn it. You were allowed to learn it and understand it and teach it. But you weren't allowed to use it. Chizkiah Melech saw that people were starting to use it, so he hid it away. I'm not allowed to use it, but I'm allowed to learn it. Why learn it if you're never going to use it? Was, I don't know what it means. And one second, if you learnt it and you know that Aveira Aleph causes Machala Aleph, well, you're not going to do tshuva that? I mean, what do you mean use it? How are you not going to use it? I don't understand what it means. I don't know. I haven't seen the Ramban inside, but Dessler quotes it like that, and that's what he says. To sit inside. You better get trouble listening before I get killed. Where's my dog?